All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of TKO, Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's going on, people?
We're going to recap UFC 291 and talk a bit about Sanhagen versus Font. There's some interesting fights on that card. Let's do it. All right, y'all, here we are, fresh off the heels of a very good pay-per-view.
Got a new BMF.
New BMF. Justin Gaethje got it done.
Got it done, dude.
Huge knockout, man. That was awesome. It was a great read from his team, and pretty cool to see the parallel of Usman getting knocked out with that same combination, the straight into the head kick in the same arena.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, same arena and everything. And Gaethje saw it and was like, you know what? I think I'll try that out, and it paid off.
Hey, you know what? Good on Usman for getting set, like, you know, not getting flashbacks and just being able to celebrate his boy winning.
Yeah, word.
No, yeah. That was a good card, man. I'm happy for Gaethje. I'm interested to see. I don't like that he's probably going to get a title shot after this, but you know, there's not really any other matchups for him besides that. Maybe McGregor, but who knows when he's going to fight again. So, man, good on him. I'm glad. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of like the matchup. I like him for the title because you know he beat Fiziev, he beat Poirier. Before that he beat Chandler. I think it's time, you know. As much as I talk shit about giving these old guard lightweights the title shot, he did go through the Young Buck and Fiziev, so I think he's earned his shot. Hasn't fought Islam yet, and I know Islam and Khabib have very similar styles, but they're not the same guy. So I mean, I think it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, with my thing on that, looking at it, it's like he wasn't a match for Khabib. He wasn't a match for Oliveira. Like, I don't see it being any different with Islam. But just as you were saying, there's no real other logical choice for Gaethje at this point. So give him one last try at the title. You know, I think after this one, you know, unless somebody that he is competitive with takes it off Islam, which I don't see, you know, this might be Gaethje's last chance for legitimate UFC gold, not interim gold, like legitimate, you know, getting that title.
Undisputed, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, happy for him. You know, like I said, like you were saying, he's gone through everybody he has to go through. You know, he's the most deserving of a title shot right now. I'm interested to see if he gets put on the back burner for other people like Volkanovski in lieu of Gaethje. Or, you know, I'm interested to see where that goes, but I wouldn't be upset to see him get a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, cool. I know Oliveira's fighting Islam right now. You figure if he wins, they'll probably do the rubber match because they'd be 1-1 at that point. But if Islam goes through him, I think it makes sense to do the Gaethje fight.
Well, speaking of rubber match, do you think we see Poirier Gaethje number 3 sometime down the line?
I mean, maybe like in a year or two, but right now I feel like Gaethje's gunning for that title shot. Let's say he loses and Poirier's still floating around. I don't see why not to make the fight. But Poirier himself said that he doesn't want that smoke anymore. He's like, no, that's all right.
Yeah, but Poirier is always in and out anyway. He says a lot of things, you know? Like, he's been 1 foot out of the octagon for the last, like, 3 years. But he's still going out there putting on really good performances. No shame in losing to Gaethje, but you know, where does Poirier go from here?
I mean, honestly, I think he just takes fun fights now. You know, I think that's where he's been at these last couple of years. I think it's clear that he's not going to break through for another title shot. So, you know, just have some fun out there, fight somebody like I don't know, Fiziev, or maybe go up to 170 and get some of those fights with like Dos Anjos or Covington, something like that. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't see him really gunning for that title shot again. You know. So I'd imagine this is kind of just like the a few more fights to fan the flame before he retires, you know?
Calls it a day. Speaking of title shots, how about Alex Pereira getting it done against Jan?
I mean, honestly, dude, that fight was so close. Like, I thought Jan won. And I mean, like, I'm biased. I had money on him and I love him. But I don't know, man. Obviously, it comes down to the third round. First round was Jan. Second round was Pereira. And then third round was super close, and then Jan got a takedown in the last 30 seconds. And I'm like, you know, I felt like he was winning on the feet in that round, first off. And then, he landed the bigger shots, in my opinion. I know Pereira was landing the volume, but felt like Jan landed the bigger shots. I know Pereira landed, like, a good jab and a good leg kick. That was, like, his two big moments of the fight, in that round. And Blachowicz landed some nice left hooks, landed a good kick to the body, and got the takedown at the end. And I'm like, all right, like, I don't know. In my opinion, if the fight is 50-50 on the feet and then somebody gets a takedown, that guy gets the round, you know?
Yeah.
Call me old school.
No, I mean, I can see how people are leaning toward Yan winning, but it was close enough to where I feel like it's, you know, it's, you can't get too upset about that. You know, Yan should have been able to control it on the ground way more over the course of three, because that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, we thought that that was going to be the ace in the hole that really just, you know, put it apart, and Yan couldn't seem to get that going, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely showed that he was, you know, like leagues ahead of Pereira on the ground, but he definitely went too hard in that first round for the finish, and he ended up gassing out really hard. And, you know, obviously the altitude doesn't help, but yeah, Blachowicz maybe went for the kill a little bit too much too soon in that first round. He was really gunning for some submission attempts and ended up gassing himself out. I think if he would have went for the style that he went for against Izzy, where he just, you know, used his position over submission, he could have racked up two rounds easy. And
I mean, got that I can see why he was trying to get him out early. You know, Pereira's a dangerous individual where you don't want to get hit with too many clean shots. So
100%,
I'm sure that that factored into his game plan, trying to really negate that early. But it was a good fight. What do you think Pereira goes from here, man? Do you think he gets a title shot?
Yeah, probably. I think they'll just feed him the title shot. I'd imagine Jiří comes back sooner than Jamal Hill because, you know, his injury was a little bit before. They promised Jiří a title shot when he comes back, and, you know, rightfully so. So I'd imagine they do Jiří versus Pereira maybe sometime early next year, if not like December. I think that fight makes a lot of sense, and I think I'm really excited to see how that matchup plays out, because I think I thought Jan was the toughest stylistic matchup for Pereira in the top five, you know, him and Ankalaev. But I think Jiří, Jamal Hill, these guys are a little bit more winnable matchups for Pereira. So I could definitely see Pereira going on a nice little streak here and getting the belt, maybe defending it a couple times.
Yeah, I like seeing Pereira at light heavyweight. He looks good. He looks healthy up there.
Definitely. He looks healthy as hell. He's big as fuck. It's scary.
Yeah, it's crazy when you look at him at middleweight and or you see him at light heavyweight and then you consider that he used to be at middleweight. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, nah. I don't know how he made 185. Before we go any further, we should address Jordan is on the road right now. That's why his mic doesn't sound the same as he usually does. But we'll be back to business next time, you know.
Yeah, my bad, guys. Gotta get that family vacay in.
Yeah, I like that you're doing it from the road, though. You know, it's a lot, means a lot to me, brother. Making some time
It's about commitment here at the TKO show.
That's true. So Derek Lewis got that huge knockout. That was awesome. Came out with a flying knee and just, you know, pounded Rogério de Lima to not unconsciousness, but to a TKO victory early in the fight. Bobby Green put on a masterclass against Tony Ferguson. Ferguson had a couple moments, but
Let's not roll over Derek Lewis like you didn't say that you were going to fade him from now on. And he came out. Same thing. I said the same stuff. But look at him coming out there, getting it done and showing us that he's still here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy he matched up with, like, I don't know if we even talked about it on the preview pod. Honestly, I don't remember. But like, that guy's not that good. Like, you know, he's beaten like Andrei Arlovsky and Waldo Cortez Acosta. You know, these are middling heavyweights. Look at the strength of schedule that Lewis has fought compared to the strength schedule that de Lima has fought. It was kind of baffling to me that they put him at -225. I saw the first round knockout prop for +330. I was like, well, if he's gonna get it done, that's how it's gonna go down. Yeah.
So you put money on that prop?
Yeah, I put $10 on it because I was like, I could see you know, Lewis just coming out and blasting him like he did Chris Daukaus.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what happened, you know? So yeah, dude, I'm happy he got the victory. I love the celebration.
I'm just happy to see him get back on the winning track. And speaking of that, God, dude, I want to see Tony Ferguson get one win before he calls it a day.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, man. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. Like, it's bad. Like, the speed difference is so crazy now, like, compared to how he was. And, you know, he got choked to sleep in this fight. He doesn't tap, so it was bad, man. It was a good performance from Bobby Green. Ferguson had a little bit of success, especially in that second round, but Green was just too much for Ferguson the whole fight. I'm happy that he didn't get knocked out like almost immediately, like how I thought he was gonna. But you know, anyway, he did sustain a good amount of damage in that fight. And, I think, I mean, we've been saying this for the last couple fights with Ferguson, but I think it's probably time. I think he should hang up the gloves and, you know, go out before he turns into one of those cases like a BJ Penn. I mean, he's on that track already. He has 6 losses in a row, you know, most of them finishes. So
yeah, it's just hard to see.
Yeah. I don't want to see it anymore. You know, I would hope that he, just gets out of the game while he can. Kevin Holland got the
getting
fucking
a Darce choke. Yeah, bro.
I called that shit, man.
You did
me
call
on
that.
The...
I would say you called that like verbatim. Good,
yeah,
good for you, man.
I saw it happening because Chiesa does leave his neck out in those exchanges, you know, in those wrestling exchanges, and tends to be a little bit desperate when he's outmatched on the feet. So, I mean, it played right into Holland's game. Holland's a black belt, like we said, and, you know, he's obviously not afraid to use it. He got it done there. That was a great victory for him.
Michelle Pereira missed weight by 4 pounds. That's ridiculous. I was upset about it. Huh?
I heard they didn't pay Thompson his show money,
yeah,
even though
yeah,
he came
they,
through.
Yeah,
and
it was,
up.
There's a whole deal thing. That's like, they're bullshit. Still going through it. Because he, and like, I get what his, because he put out a statement saying, like, I'm not going to fight at catchweight because I'm still trying to get to a welterweight title.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember he did something like this against Darren Till, I believe, where Darren Till missed weight and he still fought. And then that set him back, you know, quite
years.
A bit in his aspirations to get a title. So, and I think that dude, the UFC should pay him at least something,
yeah,
at least the show money. Cause it's like, he showed up, he made weight. And, you know, at that point, the decision should have been in his hand to like, you know, do you want to go fight and then try to get this, you know, extra money, this Lynn money, or, you know, I think he should get paid regardless. Cause he did his job. He came in, he showed up to make weight. All right. Showed up, made weight, was ready to go. Michelle Pereira was not. It's just, it's unfortunate. I do hope they do right by him, especially someone like Wonderboy, because doing him wrong is not very good business. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The guy's like a company that, man. He's always doing good shit for the UFC. Mm-hmm, and then here they go fucking him over the first chance they get, you know?
That's not the type of stuff you want to do, man. Like, he'll, if that's a name that could go over to one, who could go over to Bellator, to go over to PFL, and it would draw eyeballs.
100%. Speaking of going over to PFL or Bellator, just quick touch. Derek Lewis is now a free agent. I think he'd be very smart to play the pool and see if he can get back and get into the PFL and get a fight with Francis Ngannou. I think that's a very smart move. You know, he has that victory over Ngannou and what was, you know, they called it a fight. It was more like a staring contest, but I'm sure Ngannou wants to get that back. And you know, everybody that he fights in PFL is going to get a guaranteed $2 million, which I'm sure is more than what Derek Lewis is making right now at the UFC. So yeah. I'd like to see him go to the PFL and get that bag personally. I know the UFC is probably going to throw like 8 fight contract at him to try to get him to retire with the organization. But at this point, I think it just makes sense for him to jump ship, chase the paper, you know?
Yeah, no, might as well, man.
Only one more fight to talk about here. Gabriel Bonfim got it done, snapped up that guillotine quick in the middle of a transition. It was awesome. I had that guy by finish, so I was happy to see that payout. And then Miranda Maverick steamrolled Priscilla Cachoeira like she should have. So that was good to see Miranda Maverick kind of come back to form there. all right, we don't got much more time. Let's get into this this next card, UFC Nashville. Corey Sandhagen versus Rob Font, the return of the Sandman. You know, there was the first pod that we did was talking about Sandhagen versus, I think it was Song Yadong at that point. So it's kind of cool to see him get 2 or 3 main events since then. And, you know, it kind of shows me where we've been at, that we've been at this for a good amount of time now, you know?
Hey, dude, I think it's a happy birthday to TKO, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was August or September that we did the first one. Let me check right now, because I could just...
September, so we joined on September 16th, so next month, baby. Hey, that's
perfect.
Cool. Hey,
we're coming up.
Coming at it. Yeah, dude, but I'm excited to see Sandhagen. I'm excited for this fight. Sandhagen and Font, dude, two really exciting, you know, high-octane fighters. Dude, I'm pumped for this one.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good one. I think there's going to be a lot of volume traded between these two guys. Sandhagen obviously has a bit more of a well-rounded game with his kicks and his switch stances and stuff like that. Rob Font's got the boxing for sure, 100%. He's got a great boxing game, phenomenal jab, probably the best in the division, if not in the UFC. When he gets that jab working, it's really tough to stop him from building on it. But you know, Sandhagen's got the length, he's got the reach, he's got more tools in his back pocket. And, on top of all that, besides of, you know, how the matchup goes striking wise and skill wise, Sandhagen is just a lot tougher. You know, Rob Font, has been on the wrong end of some bad knockdowns and knockouts these last couple of years. Although he did come back with that victory over Adrian Yanez recently. Sanhagen's just a different beast. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever even seen him get dropped, let alone get finished with strikes. So I do think he has an advantage there in the toughness in this matchup. And I could see that being a big factor. I think he'll probably end up out voluming Rob Font, and, you know, some of his strikes might land and really hurt Font. Whereas Font, I think it's kind of tough for him to get that jab going against a taller, rangier opponent like Sanhagen. He had some, you know, trouble against the taller Marlon Vera, and Marlon Vera is a lot less, what's the word? Like, he doesn't move as much. He's more stationary than Sanhagen. Sanhagen will move, cut angles, switch stances. So I'm really excited to see how it plays out, but I do think that Sanhagen's got the advantage in this matchup, and I see him getting a victory over the course of the fight, probably like third, fourth round, if not by decision.
Yeah, man, dude, I would love to see just five rounds of just constant action. That's what I'm hoping we see in this one. I don't want to see a finish in this one. I want to see these two just bang it out for 25 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it would be a really good style matchup as it plays out over five rounds. I'd like to see like the ebbs and flows of it. But I do feel like Sanhagen's just going to get the bigger moments and get it done.
I agree. I think he's going to win. I wouldn't say handily, but I think he's going to win pretty comfortably unless he goes out there and just, you know, shits the bed or leaves himself open for an unnecessary shot. I think you're right on this one. I think Corey Sanhagen's going to take it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it plays out, though. You know, Rob Font's a dog. You can't really count him out. But again, it's just like the boxing game versus a more well-rounded game. I mean, anybody that goes against Sanhagen that's like one-dimensional, I'm picking Sanhagen because he just has so many tools and so smart in the fight. And I expect him to be very educated and, you know, well-prepared for Rob Font's jab and his game plan. Although it is on short notice, so, I mean, it might surprise him. But, you know, we'll see. There's some really good fights on this card, man. This co-main event, I'm super excited for.
Yeah, Jessica, who's this girl, Andrade? Tatiana Suarez? I think I've seen her before, but I can't recall.
Yeah, she was a. Are you being serious? I can't tell. I think you're playing a bit.
Wait, hold on, let me see.
Oh, Tatiana Suarez, yeah. She's the wrestler,
dude. Yeah, my bad.
She trialed for the Olympics, and
she beat Grasso. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's got some big wins on her resume, dude. She beat Grasso, she beat Esparza, she beat Ansaroff, Pereira, a whole bunch of people. She's a beast, man. She's got great wrestling, obviously, great submission game. Striking is leaving a lot to be desired. I'd imagine that's something that she's improving in these last few years when she's had the time off and since her last fight with Montana De La Rosa. But she draws a very tough ask in Jessica Andrade. This fight's at strawweight. Jessica Andrade going back down to strawweight. Tatiana Suarez going back down to strawweight. She fought a flyweight in her last fight. So I'm really excited to see how this matchup plays out. You know, Andrade typically, you know, it takes a lot for her to get out-grappled. You know, Erin Blanchfield did a great job of out-grappling her, but again, Erin Blanchfield is like one of those generational talents that I think we'll see win the title eventually. Tatiana Suarez is another phenomenal grappling talent. So, I mean, she does have that game plan in her back pocket, but Blanchfield had to kind of walk through the fire in order to get those takedowns and get that grappling game workout and or working out. And Tatiana Suarez, I don't know if she's going to be that willing to go through the fire that is Jessica Andrade. Like, she's gonna take some damage in this fight. Andrade, she's not easy work for anybody. It's very hard to get through her without taking some punishment.
Yan Xiaonan put it out in 2 minutes. So
yeah, I was at that fight.
And Erin Blanchfield put her out in
I think it was, you know, the second round.
Right? Yeah, the second round.
Yeah, so, I mean, Blanchfield had to take some punishment to get that victory, you know? She has to wade through the fire to get to the takedowns and stuff. Yan Xiaonan stayed very composed on the feet and just landed, like, a clean counterpunch and knocked her out. But, you know, I'm kind of torn on this matchup. I mean, obviously, Tatiana Suarez has a lot of momentum going into this fight. She's coming off of her, you know, undefeated career, and Andrade is coming off of two stoppage losses at that, I think. You know, if not the first time she got stopped in the UFC, one of the very few times she's been stopped. It's not the first time. She got stopped by Weili and Shevchenko. Again, no shame in losing to these girls, though. These are like some of the best women in the UFC, you know?
Yeah, but it does show that she is susceptible to being finished.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's tough for the taller, rangier wrestler in most scenarios to take down somebody that's shorter and stockier. Andrade has a very solid base. I'm not going to doubt Suarez's wrestling capabilities because I'm sure she'll be able to get it done. She'll be able to at least get one or two takedowns in this fight. I just hope that she does enough with it to, you know, pass the gulf that's going to be in the striking that I expect to be in the striking, because, you know, Suarez's striking's not that polished, and I could see Andrade landing some good leg kicks. I could see her landing some good, you know, punches on the feet, some good body shots. I'd imagine
I forget that Andrade has that much power in her hands until I see her connect with somebody like Flush, you know?
Yeah, no, she knocks girls out, dude. Like, she doesn't play around. I think Suarez is going to have her hands full with this one. Not that I don't think she's going to get it done, but I think she's going to have to go through some adversity to get this victory. And I think that's going to be really good for her career. If she can, you know, overcome the tornado that is Jessica Andrade and get a finish in this fight, I think that's a huge feather in her cap, and I think it's going to propel her momentum-wise very far in this division. And I'm excited for this one, man.
I think Suarez gets it done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I could see her taking her down and getting, like, an arm triangle or, you know, something like that. I do think she's going to have to go for the finish unless she just completely drowns her out in the wrestling, but it's very hard to do that to Andrade. It's very hard to just drown her out. The only people I can remember that did that was, like, Valentina Shevchenko and Aaron Blanchfield, you know.
I can see her getting a little, you know, antsy or a little bit too aggressive to try to get that finish, especially coming off of two stoppage losses. And I think you could see that being her downfall. I think you could see her get herself into a situation that, you know, Suarez is able to snap up that choke, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. I'm excited to see how it plays out, man. And I think they have Andrade at like plus 300, which I feel like is a little crazy. I might drop a tenner on her just to hedge, you know. But Andrade, I do like Suarez by submission.
They got her at plus 300?
Yeah, I think that's what the odds had it. That's what I saw.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean, like, I get it. You know, she didn't look great in her last couple fights. Maybe people think that she's a little bit over the hill. But I don't know. She might. I think she still has some fight left in her, dude. This is a tough matchup, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her get it done. At least, you know, if not by finish, from strikes, probably by decision just off of damage. But yeah, a couple other fights. Let's go down the card. Justin Jacoby versus Kennedy and Zedjuku. This is a very interesting matchup. You got the, you know, patented tactician in Dustin Jacoby. Loves to use his jab, loves to use his leg kicks, stay pretty on the outside, versus the guy who makes every fight ugly and will win an ugly fight in Kennedy and Zedjuku. And Zedjuku always has a slow first round and then builds up immensely as the fight goes on. He's obviously huge for the weight class. I believe he's like 6'7", if not like 6'5". Let me find out. Yeah, 6'5". Huge for light heavyweight. Jacoby's on the smaller side. I believe he's even fought at middleweight in Glory before. So this is an interesting fight, man. I'm siding on Nzenjuku just because Jacoby is coming off of a couple of losses where the power seemed to be a big problem for him, and Nzenjuku's got huge power. But as far as technique goes, Jacoby seems to be a lot cleaner. Nzenjuku will double up on his straights, double up on his jabs, and you know, likes to use the clinch game, which I think is going to be a big factor in this fight. If he can push Jacoby up against the fence and get some good work against there, I think we can see him get a finish in a clinch, or, you know, at least hurt him in one of those exchanges and get a decision victory. I'm pretty excited for this fight, man. I'm honestly not sure who to pick, but I'm leaning on the side of Nzenjuku.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm excited. I know, like you said, I'm excited to watch this fight. This is going to be a banger of a matchup, honestly.
Yeah, it's hard to make a pick.
Yeah, I'm probably going to side with Kennedy as well. And I think he just has too much for him, for Jacoby. But I do like Jacoby. That's my problem. I like both of these fighters.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both of these guys. I'm happy that they put this matchup together, but I'm also a little upset. You know, I got to see one of my boys lose, you know.
That's all right, dude. It's them the breaks, man. Nashville's getting spoiled, though, with these three.
Yeah, man, there's some good fights on this card. There's a few more going down the line, there's a lot, actually. Now I'm looking at the card, there's a lot of really interesting matchups. Diego Lopez versus Gavin Tucker. I saw Diego Lopez fight Movsarov in Newark a bit ago. He is Alexa Grasso's BJJ coach, and he is super active on the bottom position. And on the feet, he's a bit of a wild man, throwing like spinning shit and, you know, just trying to get the guy out of there. In my opinion, he looks like a real killer, like in the sense that, you know, he's going to be going for the finish every phase of the fight. Gavin Tucker has been on a bit of a skid recently, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's been a while since I've seen him get a victory in the UFC. He got knocked out by Dan Ige in his last fight pretty quickly. That was like, wow, that was 2 years ago. My goodness, he's taking some time off. But yeah, I just... You know, I think maybe the time off good for him because his chin was looking pretty bad those few years. But I think Lopez, he's got a lot going for him here. I think he's got a good advantage on the ground. I could see him, you know, getting a submission in one of the exchanges. I could see him hurting Tucker on the feet. I like Lopez in this fight. I'm just going to go Lopez money line. I think he's got some really good skills and talent in this weight class. And coming off of that loss over Movsarov Loev, where he pretty much took him to the brink, and Loev is like a top 10 fighter, I think there's going to be a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence coming from Lopez, and I could see him getting it done here.
I'm going to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, it's a good matchup. A couple other fights I wanted to talk about. Tanner Boser versus Alexa Camor. Alexa Camor is an absolute can. They're giving Tanner Boser an easy matchup here. They want him to get a victory at light heavyweight, at least one. So they gave him Alexa Camor. I could definitely see Boser winning this fight, if not by knockout, just by decision, overwhelming him with the volume and stuff. Ludovic Klein versus Ignacio Bahamondes. This is going to be my pick for fight of the night. Both of these guys come out to bang every time. Both of them are very talented strikers. I'm really excited for this matchup. This is one you guys should definitely tune into. If you haven't heard of these dudes, you should check them out. Ignacio Bahamondes has a huge spinning back kick victory over Roosevelt Roberts. He's got some good striking, good boxing. I think his uncle was like a really famous boxer in Peru, where he's from. I believe it's Peru. Let me make sure. Chile. Sorry. Yeah, he's a really famous Chilean boxer, and you could see it in Ignacio Bahamondes. He's got great power in his hands, or not power in his hands. He's got great technique with his hands and great volume. Ludovic Klein is a bit of a bruiser, but he also has very clean striking technique. So I'm really excited to see how this matchup plays out. I hope it doesn't end up being one of those striker versus striker matchups where they just grapple or stare at each other. A few other fights. Billy Q's coming back fighting Damon Jackson. This is a tough matchup. Dangerous fight with Damon Jackson. Billy Hughes coming off of that knockout loss over Edson Barboza, where Barboza landed that knee in the clinch. That was super clean. Damon Jackson coming off of, if I'm not mistaken, his loss against Ilya Topuria. Oh, against Danny Ige, that's what it was. So both guys looking to get back in the winning column after getting finished. I do think this is a favorable matchup for Billy Q. I think he can, you know, use that weaponize that cardio and really wear down Damon Jackson. That being said, Jackson is very dangerous, and I wouldn't be surprised if he caught him in the middle of an exchange, similar to how Barboza did, you know, just landing a big shot and pouring it on Billy Q and getting a finish. So I'm not sure to take that fight, but I'd imagine, I think if you put a gun in my head, I'm going to pick Billy Q. I just think he's the more proven guy. Kyler Phillips versus Ronnie Barcelos, both of them coming off of losses, trying to get that back. That's going to be a good one. Jeremiah Wells versus Carlson Harris. I really like Wells in this fight. I've been, you know, following this guy for a minute, his fight with Semelsberger, his fight with Court McGee. He's got huge power in his hands, and I think that's going to be a big problem for Carlson Harris. Sean Woodson's fighting, who's all legs. They call him Slenderman. Cody Durden's fighting. That's pretty interesting. Odie Osborne's fighting. There's some really good fights on this card, man. I think this card is going to shake out very well. I'm really excited to see how it all plays out. The prelims got a lot of very exciting matchups, so you guys should definitely tune in for the whole thing if you've got the time. Main card has some awesome matchups as well, especially that co-main event and main event. Let's get into the betting slip. I know you got places to be, Jordan, so let's hear what you got for this card.
All right, I'm probably going to work on the props later, but I'm going to take Corey Sandhagen. I'm going to take Suarez, and then I'm going with Kennedy against Jacoby, although I could see that going my way. I'm going to keep an eye on Diego Lopez, like you were saying, just to kind of keep him in, get some data for some future picks on him.
Word. Sounds good. Siding with the favorites. You know, they put them there for a reason.
My underdog picks ain't been doing so well lately, so.
Yeah, I feel you. I got a few picks on this card going down from the top. I'm going to take Sanhagen over 2.5. I think both guys are pretty tough. Fonka finished against, who was it? I don't even remember at this point, but oh, he hasn't been finished in a long time, actually. Well, we've seen him get dropped. I think that's what's raining on my mind. Never got knocked out, huh? That's interesting. I remember him being very chinny, but he got knocked down a lot against Aldo and Cheeto. Anyway, yeah, I think Sanhagen's going to put the volume on him. I think this fight probably goes to the fourth, fifth, or all the way to decision. And I think Sanhagen gets the better of those exchanges and ends up winning. So I'm taking him over 2.5. In the Andrade Suarez matchup, oof, it's a tough fight. I think I'm going to go with, I'm gonna side with Suarez by submission. I think Andrade is going to put the fire up and, you know, put the pressure on her, and she's going to have to find a finish. I might throw a tenner on Andrade at the underdog odds just to, you know, hedge it. But I like Suarez by submission.
Yeah.
Then for the light heavyweight bout, I'm going to go with Kennedy and Senjuku to win over 1.5. He typically takes that amount of time to get going, and Jacoby's a tough customer. So I could see him getting a third round finish or even just winning a decision based on damage in the second and third round. I'm going to go with Lopez by finish. I think Gavin Tucker's on the way out. I'm going to go with Tanner Boser money line, and I'm going to go with Jeremiah Wells money line. I like Wells a lot. I think Carlson Harris is a decent fighter, but you know, he's shown some susceptibility to the knockout. I know it's against Shavkat Rakhmonov, who's like a really great fighter, but yeah, I think Jeremiah Wells is going to find that button and take him out of there sooner rather than later. Yeah, man, I'm really excited for this card, dude. There's some really good fights on here. There's a lot of sleeper picks, a lot of guys that if you've been paying attention to the UFC the past few months, you'll recognize from some really exciting performances. You know, Diego Lopez, Bahamandez, Ludovic Klein, Billy Q, Harney Barcelos, Jeremiah Wells. There's a lot of good fighters on here. Every fight is pretty intriguing in my opinion. So I'm super excited for this this fight card. The week after this, we got Luque versus Dos Anjos back in the Apex. Not excited to be back in the Apex, but really excited for that matchup. And yeah, man. After that, we got Sterling versus O'Malley, which I really can't wait for.
Yeah, and Wei Li versus Lemos. This is a good fight. Cody Garbrandt's back too. Is he really? Dead yet?
Who's he fighting?
Yeah, they got him going against Mauro Bautista.
Oh no! Oh no! That's not good. Oh no! Oh man, Mauro Bautista's a monster, dude. All right, that's gonna be an easy pick for me. damn, he got the win over the worst fighter at bantamweight, Trevin Jones, and now he wants to go up against Mauro Bautista. That's bad, man. They hate him.
He did get a win. I totally forgot. I thought it's been years since he won.
Nah, yeah, he got that win. It was like he had to wrestle the guy to death because homeboy had a little bit of power in his hands and it was just too much for him to handle. So he had to wrestle him. And I mean, I don't blame him for going for that wrestling game plan, but that's not going to work against Mauro Bautista. He's very slick on the ground and also throws wild flying knees and shit on the feet. So yeah, I'm going to go with Bautista in that fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, a strong bees knocks him down nowadays.
Yeah, no, it's tough, man. It's tough to be a Cody Garbrandt fan in 2023. Chris Weidman's fighting? Holy shit. What is this? Did we wake up in 2017? What's going on here? That's crazy. All right, cool. I'm excited for that fight card, man. That's going to be in a couple of weeks. We'll break that down when we can. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening, y'all. Rock with your boys. We did pretty good last week. Not phenomenal, but you know, we had the Gaethje pick. We had the Bobby Green, obviously. Kevin Holland we picked exactly. Gabriel Bonfim. That Kopalov head kick was crazy too in the prelim. But yeah, hopefully we can get back to a perfect record this week. I think we've got some good picks, and I'm really excited to see how these fights shake out. So stay tuned, and appreciate y'all for listening. Thank you so much for everything. Take it easy, TKO Nation. Take it easy. Be safe out there.
Later.
Peace out.